got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Yep.
Welcome back.
You either go to church.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Friday, January 19th, 2024, and joined again by my special guest, Jeremy from Kentucky. We're united, Jeremy, as social Darwinist egalitarians. We're united.
It's kind of on the different end of that stick, yeah. Same stick.
I'm being facetious. There's more from the stuff that we were playing earlier I want to get to in a minute, but first the announcements. We are at the end of the second annual John Stadmiller book drive. Make a donation of $100 or more for your chance to win. This week's book, the last book, One Nation Under Israel by Andrew Hurley. There's all kinds of fodder, not to get sidetracked, but there's all kinds of fodder, different directions we could go, and we're talking about that in the break. I mean, this you know, could be a series, an endless series of broadcasts probably. And I think the more that we dive into it, the more interesting it'll get. And like you said, spicy for sure. Anyway, there's also the quilt raffle, obviously. The New Year Rebel Madman Rabble Raiser quilt raffle. Make a donation of $250 or more for your chance to win fabulous cash and prizes. But seriously, the Confederate battle flag quilt, the RBN mug, t-shirt, business cards, bumper stickers, great stuff to spread the word and let people know this is a different kind of animal. I think I said it yesterday, and I think I said it after the broadcast. When we do what we do, you and I together, I feel like it approaches, in one sense, the dialogue of the American Revolutionary period, which is a very different kind of thing. You know, we think we're so fancy and civilized and cosmopolitan. We're so much smarter these days. And yet, find me a person that can read the correspondence of the American Revolutionary period and understand it. It's you know, that's, but I think when we're doing it, it's not from an illuminized, deistic kind of perspective. It's from a biblically orthodox kind of oriented perspective.
Agreed. And we bring, I think, the best out of each other, and we make each other think.
Yeah.
And I sometimes have to stop back and reconsider my position. And mm-hmm. I think all of us.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it's challenging in a good way, for sure. And I think, you know, hopefully that's edifying to the listeners. So the quilt raffle, that's great. And by the way, if you're going to do that, you can throw your hat in for the book drive as well. So those two things are fantastic. As you say, Jeremy, smash the donate button, do whatever you can. We unpacked that in the first hour a little bit. Whatever place people are in, thank you for coming here. Hopefully this is cathartic, because we get gaslighted everywhere you look. It's a mad, you know, Lewis Carroll upside down and backwards sort of world. The lies are everywhere. The gaslighting is everywhere. And this, to me, you know, I want Road Warrior Radio in particular to be a cathartic kind of oasis where we talk about reality a little bit for a while, and sometimes you know, what's behind the crazy, what happens when we pull back the curtain? What's the man behind the curtain doing to get us all fighting against each other and stuff? Anyway, so I think that covers it for the fundraising. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, spice costs money, and you know, the more checks that come in and debt credit cards, the more spicy it could get. You never know.
Amen. So there's that Dear RBN post also. And to summarize, your support of our sponsors and advertisers and direct contributions to the network are all extremely valuable, valued, and greatly appreciated. So thank you. And if you do not support the network currently or have not and consider the content valuable, please consider supporting the network. Thanks to those who do. All right, so back to kind of where we were. I want to move on to the next clip, if we may. Let's see. Do you feel like there's anything else that we should add before we do that?
Not without starting a huge 15-minute discussion. So let's go with it. Let's go with the clips.
I feel like this the title of all of this would be Sacred Cow Tipping, because we're really, I think we're headed toward that.
For sure.
And, you know, again, the World Economic Forum, this is the last day of their public stuff. That factors in. The 1984 deal, you know, who controls the past, controls the present. Or who controls the present controls the past, who controls the past controls the future, that deal. We're sort of unpacking who's controlling the present in order to control the past and future. And I think of the Bellamy salute, for example. You know, people are talking about the Nazi salute these days. Well, that was the Pledge of Allegiance salute at the turn of the 20th century. Sacred cow tipping. Anyway, we played the clip, John Taylor Gatto talking about history, particularly, I would say, Calvin-oriented in for our discussion anyway. And I would maybe add the point that I've mentioned based on this, what comes from Calvin, you know, because, and John Taylor Gatto kind of made the point, the Anglican Book of Common Prayer, God's will is to define all living creatures and plants into an infinite number of layers. To attempt to leave your layer, so to speak, is the worst sacrilege of all. So Darwin's theory, fully explicated, is the Anglican homily of obedience. And this is why, you know, I talk about some of those characters. That's for later discussion. Don't try to get out of your biological category because it's hopeless. Prior to that, don't try to get out of your spiritual category because it's hopeless. And that's where Calvin comes in. And so with Darwin, though, I've always said, you know, basically what you get, and this is what Galton said, Darwin's cousin Francis Galton, the guy who is credited with the coining of the term eugenics, basically he said, congratulations, cuz, you freed us from a theological argument that all life is, you know, that mankind is precious, even priceless. So now we can say you are biologically inferior, therefore you must die. And the Jedi mind trick response is, okay. And that's what's been going on ever since, really. But we should probably move on to the next clip.
Yeah, agree.
So, okay. So, Mr. Bordop, can we move on to number two, 11:42 to 14:14 minute mark, please?
Well, anyway, so this package of high-level evidences, contentions, is capstone with scientific mathematical evidence and the proselytizing of Francis Galton. Rigorous. Out of that comes, in the period right after the American First World War, a phenomenon in country fairs all over America called the Better Families Competitions. You set up the criteria for ranking, and you know, you present your daughters like prize heifers to be rated by the judges. So we have a series of these reinforcements of Darwinian theory, which is really a reinforcement of Anglican theology or Calvinist theology or Platonic philosophy or Fichtean philosophy, or if you want to go liberal, Spinozan philosophy, until finally we get to this cap. So now the cap is off the tunnel to hell, because not only are people justified in setting up a form of schooling that's anti-educational, but they're doing either nature's work or the Lord's work. You decide. You want to go Calvin, you're doing the Lord's work. You want to go nature, you go
Spinoza.
Yeah, yeah. So that, all of this wonderfully rich fabric of foundation is right on the surface. Someone has to point your attention to it. Please, no one watching say, oh, this fellow Gatto has spun off, you know, this phenomenal, interesting, but wacky theory. I didn't spin off anything. I took the dots and I connected them. And I said, they're identical from 300 BC until post Darwin Galton.
So, interesting. Yeah. Identical dots, 300 BC, Plato, to post Darwin Galton. Speaking of environmental determinism and people, you know, I think this secret knowledge, you know, reading certain writings, you know, this stuff really kicked into high gear after the Gutenberg press, the movable type press around 1450, and they can disseminate their writings to each other more readily, and they can also propagandize the people more readily.
Yeah, and this guy, I think, is, you know, he's equating the belief in, if you observe differences and you talk about it, then either you're a Calvinist or a Darwinist. And I think that's a false dichotomy. I think I've provided a pretty reasonable Christian view of a way that you don't have to be lumped into either one of those two. And as you know, I do believe you can come out of the spiritual state that you're in, because all may come to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
Him.
All in one Christ. Yep.
Right. But why didn't Paul tell Onesimus and, you know, Philemon, hey, there is no slave or Greek, you know, you don't have to go back and submit to Philemon. You're a Christian now. He didn't. Now, he recommended, you know, that Philemon treat him well. What I'm saying is there's positions that we are in, that I do believe God has put us in, that we can improve, and maybe he'll allow us to transition.
What about if you're married, stay married? If you're single, stay single, that kind of thing. Sure. Whatever. Yeah.
But if it was strictly environment, so I admitted when I mentioned William Grant Still and the blacks have been in America, that there is an influence that environment has to better a person. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. If everything were just total equal across the board, why hasn't affirmative action worked? Because air traffic controllers are having a really hard time keeping people of color. That's an observation. Do with it what you want.
It's, you know, without diving down the rabbit hole per se, 5 minutes left in this segment, I would say it's, you know, that kind of thing has to do with equality of outcome and not necessarily picking the best and the brightest, not to mention the nature of the mechanism lends itself to failure by intent. and people aren't encouraged to reach higher and do better. I think that has to do with the nature of socialism and the dichotomy between socialism and what we see in the book of Acts, the birth of the church, the Pentecostal moment, not the new apostolic reformation and this new thing that's evil, but you know, the contrast basically where socialism, communism, contrary to God's word, is based on dishonesty and theft and preys on our selfish desires, encourages laziness, jealousy, and greed, you know, to take from others what they have or don't have. You know, in this case, in the case of affirmative action, an opportunity, for example, and rationalize away the crime and consequences, and thereby ostensibly absolving the wrongdoers and the wrongdoing. And I think because of that, there's a mechanism sort of built into it that works against the people involved. And I think that's why it works sort of as designed.
And for the record, I'm for total meritocracy, getting rid of affirmative action, because as you point out, there's nefarious purposes behind it. It wasn't because they cared for people of color.
I did a show recently, speaking of John Taylor Gatto, him talking about Beatrice Webb and her uncle, Herbert Spencer, and her, you know, on Herbert Spencer's deathbed, they're talking, it's the same clique of folks basically. And, they're arguing about the same thing. Basically, Gatto says, you know, Herbert Spencer says, you know, the textbook kind of Malthusian, kill the brutes, just exterminate them as soon as possible. And she says, let's kill them with kindness, which is, you know, the Cloward Piven strategy in action, basically. That's affirmative action. You kill people with kindness. It's giving them something that they haven't earned and therefore don't deserve, which does all kinds of weird. It creates havoc in the minds of the people that you're doing it to, and those who are maybe, say, victimized by it, those who otherwise would have had opportunities and things that would have worked. Anyway.
Plausible deniability. Hey, we tried to help you. Look at you.
Right.
Really, we're destroying you.
Precisely. Yeah.
Fascinating perspectives.
So also I would add, speaking of the propaganda that goes along with this and the environmental conditioning that we don't realize, maybe people, you know, we just came through the Christmas season. Remember the movie Meet Me in St. Louis that was released in 1944? From the Wikipedia entry, divided into a series of seasonal vignettes, starting with the summer of 1903, it relates the story of a year in the life of the Smith family in St. Louis, leading up to the opening of the Louisiana Purchase Exposition, most commonly referred to as the World's Fair, in the spring of 1904. And like Gatto said, that was the era when we had all of these, you know, along with the World's Fair came these eugenic competitions, and they're, you know, we're still talking about it to this day. There was an article in the Battle Creek Inquirer back in 2019 titled "How John Harvey Kellogg Was Wrong on Race." And there's a picture in the caption, and it's this banquet hall, all of these, you know, the who's who of America. Caption says, "A vegetarian banquet at the Battle Creek Sanitarium during the first race betterment conferences in Battle Creek in 1914, standing as Dr. John Harvey Kellogg." So I think there's no doubt that there are folks who, you know, are trying to engineer certain things, speaking of environmental determinism. Anyway, we're headed into a break, folks. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
As a momentary aside, on this day in 1829, Goethe's Faust, Part 1 premiered. Goethe's Faust. And famous birthdays on this day: Dolly Parton, Janis Joplin, Paul Cézanne, the French painter, Edgar Allan Poe, and Robert E. Lee. So I kind of thought maybe, you know, that should factor into the discussion because the South's going to do it again. Famous deaths on this day include Pierre-Joseph Proudhon. Speaking of liberté, égalité, fraternité, the Comte and Proudhon and friends. So those are interesting fun facts. Hedy Lamarr also died on this day. She was, speaking of smart cookies, I think she was a smart cookie. So that's momentary aside.
Am I coming in clear? I'm on the phone now.
Yes, sir.
If it starts to get too much road noise, you just have to, you know, cut me.
I hate
doing it like
great.
This, but okay. I hate doing it like this, but needs must when the devil drives. So
yeah.
you were making the point about the beauty contests at at the World's Fair, and I know your point
eugenics.
Was
eugenics.
Yeah, eugenics, and so here's a question: is beauty objective or subjective?
Well, you know, for that matter, who decides what civilization is? You know, if they're living contently and these, you know, this modern stuff arrives, who's to say if it's better?
Wow, that's interesting. And this isn't a stab at you. I'm just giving you a story. I had a professor when I was in college in the 90s at Murray State University. He's a history professor, a black man. He's one of those, like, return to your roots Africa guys that uses, like, Mucky Locky or some name, and he gave us all a book to do a report on, and it's called Things Fall Apart, and that's basically his stance, is that the African peoples were in their more natural environment and much better off before Europeans, and man, there's so many ways we could go with this, and
well,
I'm going to try to say it without saying mean, I would go with it is, what about the blacks that came to America? Would we have a William Grant still in classical music if they didn't come here? So I see an evil in slavery, but I see a God using the evil for a good too.
Yeah, it's definitely something to maybe unpack more at some point. But, you know, what about the Luddites? What about the Anabaptist crowd that says, you know, we don't need that stuff? And even they're getting sucked into Facebook and automobiles and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I mean, they don't seem to be terribly miserable, even though their communities operate on the same concepts they did 300 years ago.
Well, but do I have a valid point as far as after apartheid? And you could argue it was the communist government under Mandela. I mean, talk about things falling apart. There's, you know, parts that didn't even have clean running water.
Well, and I would argue that apartheid was an import. It wasn't something that occurred organically. It was a British import.
I could argue that too about Mandela and communism.
Yeah.
You know.
So that's probably fodder. There's another show for, we should just put pins in all of these and come back to them.
And again, you know, we may have some after shows at some point that are up for raffle. You never know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It could be, you know, I don't know. That's kind of, I don't know. That's a model that people are adopting. You know, here's the teaser, and jump on the Patreon thing or whatever to get the real meat of the thing. But it's interesting, you know, we're headed into a break. I'll hold that thought. Okay. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast as we celebrate Robert E. Lee's birthday. Am I right, Florida? Or Confederate Heroes Day? Am I right, Texas? And I'm joined by my special guest, Jeremy, from Kentucky. So thanks again, sir. It's always fun. And there's a lot of dry humor, I suppose, when we do these things. And I think there will be more as we continue to do these things. Like you said, more spice, as I said, as we kick it, you know, down a gear from first to second, third, fourth, to who knows what, maybe fifth, maybe sixth.
Yes. No sacred cows left untouched. There's a sacred bull that we got to cover. There's a sacred bull, or should I call it a golden calf, that we got to hit one of these days.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I want to play a little kind of a momentary aside from what we've been doing. a clip from ABCIA, I guess, news. Judge threatens to throw Trump out of courtroom. Just a minute of this, and there's just one little bit, I'm sure you'll catch it, that I think is particularly amusing for, you know, some of us in America. Can we play that 1 minute, please?
Has mainly been living in fear for her safety. She explained how she got a pit bull, that she never let off the leash until Trump made those statements, questioning her veracity and calling her a political pawn. Now she has a pit bull patrolling her property in upstate New York. She said she sleeps with a shotgun in her bed that she inherited from her father and recently bought bullets for it.
Wow. All right, Aaron, we'll continue to follow
everything. Yeah, that's enough. Definitely. So E. Jean Carroll is afraid for her life, and she bought shotgun bullets for her daddy's shotgun. I didn't know that shotguns had bullets. Did you, Jeremy?
I was thinking shells, but I want to know why a pit bull? Why a pit bull? Or is there differences in dogs? What's going on with that?
Right. Don't shoot your pit bull with your shotgun bullets in your daddy's shotgun, E. Jean Carroll, whatever you do. So, and then there's the back stuff, you know, they talk about Trump supporters harassing E. Jean Carroll. I'm not trying to get into this stuff, but how do we know it was actual Trump supporters, air quotes, harassing E. Jean Carroll? And it wasn't, you know, she wasn't getting red teamed, shall we say, by the Operation Whitmer Squad or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, different discussion for a different day, maybe.
Can't tell the players without a program and these stories.
Yeah. So should we move on to the next Gatto clip?
We can do.
Okay. So if we can, sir, this one would be, well, I don't know. We're going to run up against time, so. Let's see. What do we have here? The 14 to 18 minute deal. Yeah, we should probably do that one. Let's do that one next. The next one, if we can, 14 to 18 minutes. Can we play that?
I took the dots and I connected them. And I said they're identical from 300 BC until post-Darwin Galton. Comes a German, a Prussian psychophysicist named Wilhelm Wundt, who is the premier behavioral psychologist on Earth. And now let me spring a bombshell on all of you. The only place in the world for a long, long time you could get a PhD degree was either Prussia, University of Berlin, Leipzig, these little nests of Germanic countries. So from all over the world came the sons of the most powerful families, beginning in 1814 or 16 in the United States, when the guy who later became the governor of Massachusetts went over to get his PhD degree. By the 1870s, 1880s, it was a flood from Japan, from Russia, from everywhere. And now they return to their home countries, not because they have a PhD degree or they made presidents of universities, heads of government bureaus, because their families have clout. And now that's become the ticket to intellectual management. That's how these Prussian ideas spread like wildfire. There's only one university in the United States who doesn't have a president with a Prussian PhD, and he's close. I think he has a French PhD, because the French scrambled to try to get that degree too. That's Titchener at Cornell, or the head of all the heads of psych departments, Prussian PhDs. So you now get this kernel of ideas, whether fanciful or scientific, everywhere. from Japan. I mean, everywhere the same idea. The Japanese Constitution in 1868 is scrapped, and the Prussian Constitution translated into Japanese. I mean, we're talking here the domination of ideas that's so interesting that what should make you suspicious is that no one ever heard of it. They heard of this detail. Why hasn't anyone joined them together? Well, I'll tell you what. A big shot professor at Columbia Teachers College told me 12 years ago when I bearded him in his den, and I said, Doug, surely you know these things. What? Why is a junior high school teacher left to beat the drum? He looked at me and he said, not a good way to get tenure. That's all he said, and I knew. That financial, finally, prize or penalty is enough to control the way we all think. And these things have been studied since the collegia in ancient Rome. Armies have put together these insights. Churches have put together these insights and passed them down in an unbroken string to their sons, usually. And of course, the daughters catch as catch can, but eventually to both.
There you go. Boom. Jeremy, your thoughts?
So, let me see if I can get the gist. I missed just a couple seconds of it. The way that people perceive or see the world is conditioned by what they've read and studied, the motivations. The motivation for this one particular professor was just tenure. Help me sort of formulate like what this guy's point was there. I got to be honest, I didn't quite get it.
So you have this Prussian ideology, you know, and I think that this pulls into view more sacred cows like the Austrians, but we won't maybe go there today. The venerated Austrians and all the things that they've written. But, you know, you got the Prussian psychophysicist Wilhelm Wundt, who, as Gatto said, was, you know, the premier behavioral scientist, and a lot of these other guys borrowed from his work. We get the Prussian DPhil. You're a Rhodes Scholar, right? And you have your Prussian DPhil, just like I do, right? Just kidding. Anyway, so this, you know, this becomes the fast track, basically. The engineering mind wants to use this as his ticket into the, you know, fast track to high society, so to speak, or a, you know, the good life. And
it's an explanation as to why you got more white Europeans in this higher echelons of education.
I don't think it is.
What he was making.
Yeah, I don't think it is in and of itself. I mean, there's a caste system. One of the things that he talks about is how the Ivy League institutions, especially Yale, have maintained the British caste system better than all the other universities. And so, I mean, there's an element of that. And there's, you know, so much more that goes into this. What do you call them? I forget what the name of them generally, but one of the organizations that he mentioned is the Society of Cincinnatus, and all of these groups that really exist to preserve an oligarchic sort of an aristocratic hierarchy in America that most people don't even realize exists. But there's a reason why certain families, I mean, it's what James Madison described as the definition of tyranny.
Right.
Lose
corporate tyranny, judicial tyranny, academic tyranny. That's going to push me into, you know, noticing that, well, Harvard, Yale, that's where almost all of our federal judges come from. That's where the majority of our SCOTUS comes from. So if you want to bottleneck that and control the judicial system, you control Harvard and Yale.
The accumulation of all powers, legislative, executive, and judiciary, in the same hands, whether of one, a few, or many, whether hereditary, self-appointed, or elective, may justly be pronounced the very definition of tyranny.
All right. Should I mention The Chosen getting in, or do we want to even go there? The book?
The Chosen?
Getting in. The book called The Chosen Getting In.
Oh, okay.
It would go to the point of certain families and in-group preferences dominating Harvard and Yale, but maybe we don't have time for that. What, did you have another point or another clip? I apologize for not being able to hear the clip. It was a combination of the way the guy talks plus a little bit of the road noise. I hear you pretty good. So I was having trouble making out what he was saying at the point.
Uh-huh. yeah, we could play maybe the shorter clip at the end there. Let's see. The next one is Adam Smith. William Playfair's rebuke of Adam Smith, saying, you know, Adam Smith is laying bare the fact that there are no differences between any of us, really, except in early training. And that was kind of my point about environmental determinism. We'd probably leave that clip on the cutting room floor. And then there's the last one. I don't know, though. Maybe we should. I think maybe we should play the Adam Smith one, but that's extended. That's about 4.5 minutes. So can we skip the break, Mr. Bordop, and play the next one, the clip from 1818 to 2243, perhaps, sir?
If I could notice the pattern that you're describing, it seems that people are irrational. They come up with ideas of utopias. And then they, in order to get this utopia, compulsory schooling. And then they found a bunch of different ways, in the latest, using science to make people think that this is how it has to be. But when you look at the real effects of Darwin in the form of, say, eugenics and the role it played in America.
That's Galton is the inventor. His first cousin is the inventor of eugenics and the chief global distributor. There's one major exception to this, and the people who claim to be a follower of the exception, claim to have read his book like the Bible, have never seen him say what I'm about to say. I'm talking about the so-called father of capitalism. The wealth of nations, Adam Smith, who in the first 15 pages says there's no difference between the Duke's son and the street sweeper's son except early training. A dead giveaway that this idea was known to be highly dangerous, and I don't think this has ever occurred in publishing that I know of before or since. In the 1809 reprint of Wealth of Nations, because it immediately became an international must-read, the publisher of the book, a man with the ironic name of William Playfair, an economist, takes his own author to task in the preface to the book. He said the social order would be destroyed by telling people that they were all capable of intellectual development. The only way we've progressed through thousands of years of history is to make them think they depend on our goodwill
you know, for their bread and butter, let alone their safety and everything else. It's a scathing upbraid of his own immortal author, Adam Smith. But Smith is, as far as I can see, other than minor figures like Florence Nightingale, and I'm not even sure about her, he's the only one who says what ought to be obvious on the face of it. Came obvious to me when I was given 5 classes a day to teach in the middle of Manhattan's Gold Coast of the Upper West Side. So I taught the sons and daughters of the media darlings and the sons and daughters of the professoriate and the doctors and lawyers. But I also taught the kids from Spanish Harlem and from Black Harlem who'd never eaten off a tablecloth in their life. Nor was I raised with a very democratic outlook. It wasn't an undemocratic outlook, but it wasn't stressed. So you could hardly call my family, in modern terms, liberal, although I hope we'll discuss that's not a dirty word at all. It's what you ought to be aiming to be. And because my German grandfather, who cried out in the middle of the street in Mon City for German victory during the Second World War, even though his son was an infantry commander at the Battle of the Bulge, but he was calling for German victory. Let me see if I can tone down my enthusiasm.
So that's the end of that clip. Adam Smith, no difference between... Yeah, go ahead.
One of the statements he made, that if the ethnicities were allowed to meet mix, you would see basically the downfall of society. I think is that basically the statement that I heard in there?
Adam Smith wrote The Wealth of Nations, and then William Playfair, right, the publisher... prefaced the republication of Smith's Wealth of Nations by saying that Playfair was the one to whom he was referring there. And so it was a rebuke of Adam Smith, basically laying the conspiracy bare that if you leave people to themselves or give them the same education, kind of like John Taylor Gatto did in his 30-year teaching career, then there's no difference, like he said, between the... What did he say? I forget how he put it. No difference between, or how Smith put it, between the... Oh, I can't think of it. The Duke's son and the street sweeper's son is what he said.
Oh.
And so they're trying to maintain this caste system. Adam Smith writes The Wealth of Nations. He says 15 pages in, this is revealed, the conspiracy is revealed. And so William Playfair rebukes his own immortalized author, saying, you know, we can't tell people this because it would destroy the social order.
I see. Okay. Well, I think this guy's whole point, though, is that it's environment and not ethnic genetic makeup that determines
mostly in his experience of teaching different groups of young minds. And so he concludes by saying, you know, there's, you know, that's sort of the point that he punctuates. There's no difference between us except in early training. And it makes me think of Proverbs 22:6, train a child up in the way he should go, and even when he's older, he will not depart from it. Similarly, Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And my closing thought would be, you know, reminiscent of what you were saying earlier. Basically, you know, God says, you know, whatever station we found ourselves in as, you know, before we were saved, just, you know, don't worry about all this other stuff because we're not focused on this life anyway. We're focused on the life to come. So I would say, you know, it's interesting that you know, God gives through the power of the Holy Spirit, gives, you know, a true Christian special or divine revelation, shall we say, not in a Montanist sort of fashion, but in a 1 Corinthians 2 sort of fashion. And all of a sudden, you know, the Christian doesn't have to worry about striving and this whole Marxist rhetoric stuff and everything else. Just be, like Paul said, you know, I've learned the secret. It's to be content, you know, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And no matter what station in life I'm in, I'm not worried about it because God's in charge. And so it's that kind of freaks these caste system guys out. Oh my gosh, you know, now their eyes are opened, in a manner of speaking. For them, that's a bad thing. But when, you know, like Jesus said in John 8, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. They're like, oh my gosh, they're free now. The social order is going to break down. But God says, don't worry about that stuff. And so
all right,
the Christian, it's interesting how nervous they get, I think, about the Christian being liberated by Christ. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed.
And this getting groups to fight this Marxist, I mean, could that be applied to like post desegregation? You're putting blacks and whites in the same classrooms and you're expecting them, you're telling them they should be able to all compete at the same level, and the reason that they're not is because the white man's oppression, this fomentation, fighting back with racists, like racist ethnicity. Could we apply that there?
Yeah, in a manner of speaking, probably. I mean, the unending effort to foment and exacerbate differences and tensions and things like that. You know, we played that clip, Chad O'Jackson's montage. MLK was not a hero, was no hero, and in it, you know, they talk about how, you know, the issue was the forced segregation or the forced integration. That was the issue. And so I think, you know, I would say that speaks to your point.
And so it's just like affirmative action was a way to kill them with kindness. I almost see desegregation as that. What happened to black-owned business?
Yeah.
In black towns after desegregation, all the blacks went to the white restaurants. And then here's an even more intriguing question. Why did the blacks go to the white restaurant? Why didn't they stay and support their black communities?
Again, I think that, you know, that seems to, you know, that seems to at least hint at the environmental determinism, like who is influencing them? What's the influence? What's the persuasion? What's the persuasive? Yeah, because like you said, I mean, gosh, you would think that they would want to, you know.
What? Right. Why would they want to be part of white society if they felt their society was equal?
Yeah. Interesting question. That, and we're at the end. I mean, we'll do more. Folks, I hope it was interesting and informative, perhaps even edifying. I hope you have a great weekend. Please pray for one another. Support the network. Thank you, Jeremy. As always, folks, take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in, and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You can't handle
handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.